This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Today we come together as one nation to salute the veterans of the United States Armed Forces, the greatest warriors to ever walk the face of the earth. You are the reason our hearts swell with pride, our foes tremble with fear, and our nation thrives in freedom. You are America's greatest living heroes, and we will cherish you now, always, and forever.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Are you at all concerned that your colleagues on the other side of the aisle may turn the process and make it such a hard process to follow for the public? Perhaps some might call it a sabotaging of the process.
Well, of course, that's been the strategy all along, of course, has been to attack the process.
These witnesses have been fairly consistent, and for the most part, they've not been coordinating or talking to each other. For the most part.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We are now seeing fascist and neo-fascist political figures drop the charade of climate change denial and instead cast the global ecological crisis as a way of cleansing the world of lesser humans.
Before our ancestors were murdered and cleared out of this area, they farmed and lived on this land in a way that humans, the four-legged, the plant and tree people, the fish people, and Mother Earth all benefited from.
Fish people!
You on drugs?
Unchained and unstoppable.
I shouldn't be filming this, but I want, if anything happens, I want everybody to know. To my wife and kids, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. You may notice a slightly different backdrop here today. That's because, for the most part, we're not in Massachusetts anymore. We are in South Florida, in Boca Raton, at the studios of our TV affiliate, Newsmax. Very glad to be here. They set up a nice studio for Grace and myself. And we're going to be here for the week, and I'm going to be down here for a lot of the winter. Grace will be coming back and forth. I'll be in Massachusetts on probably about 1 week per month. And I will be back, of course, for my birthday, for the annual snowstorm on my birthday, January 17th. It's either on January 17th or my daughter's birthday a week later on January 25th. It's got to be one or the other, though. So, but for the time being, though, we're down here. It's the weather is beautiful. It's Veterans Day. We salute our veterans, and thank you for your service, past and present, to preserve our freedoms and liberties. And we're having a great time. Grace is here, and I'm taking Grace out after the show tonight to a very historic place. There should be a plate outside this restaurant, a plaque, and it should say, this place should be on the National Register of Historic Places, but it's not. They don't even have the same name anymore. I refer, of course, to O'Bar in the Royal Ponciana Plaza. It's not named O'Bar anymore, though.
There's a lot of places around here that I wouldn't know your history of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no signage to tell you that, like, oh, this is where Ted Kennedy learned to drive, or, you know, right, this was where the famous Easter weekend happened. And, would I know that?
And this is where the old man Joe Kennedy raped the movie star Gloria Swanson when Edward Moore, who Ted Kennedy is named after, took the husband of Gloria Swanson out on a fishing boat so that Joe would have her all by himself that day. There's many, many great moments. And the Brazilian court where David Kennedy died of a drug overdose a few years back.
I'm sure the Kennedys and Palm Beach are so happy that they have you to keep all of those memories alive for people, because a lot of people would probably forget. And they would think, hey, I'm just on a really beautiful street, not, oh, hey, this is, you know, where X or Z or Y happened.
That's right. That's right. And we'll, as we get closer to Christmas, we'll be offering you could always buy my books about the Kennedys, much of which is based here in Palm Beach County. But You know, we'll have special deals. Kennedy Babylon 1 and 2. You can get them now, though, Hacksaw. That's right. Go to HowieCarshow.com. Click on store. So, Grace, what do you got for news?
It is time for Grace's News. Whether we are in our studios in Boston or we are in Florida, Grace's News is always here. And I want to start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's officially campaigning for Bernie Sanders. A lot of people wondered, is she going to endorse Elizabeth Warren or is she going to endorse Bernie? She went with feeling the burn, and now she's out there with him. And it's weird because Bernie kind of needs someone youthful to lighten it up and maybe add a little pizzazz to the campaign. And AOC is kind of taking a negative route, and she's kind of bringing down the vibes a little bit. So I wanted to play this cut. This is the cut that got a lot of action this weekend on Twitter. This is cut six.
And so when you elect a politician and then they let you down, it feels like rejection. It feels like heartbreak. It feels like betrayal. And it feels like I never want to love again. That's what that feels like. And so I understand how that feels because I felt that way. But you know what happens when you say, I never want to love again? Your heart gets black and you turn angry and you get very anxious.
Sounds like she needs to go to therapy. She's got some issues to work out.
You know, it's like when I worked at like the taco bar in Manhattan and someone would like totally ask for a silver margarita and I would forget to put ice around the rim. And when it would be delivered, my patron's heart would turn black and he would be sad because he wanted the salt on the rim.
Here's the thing. I am not one to disparage issues of the heart because I totally agree that heartbreaks are the worst. But I've never felt that kind of heartbreak from a politician. Like, I had a lot of faith in Mitt Romney, and when he turned into a rhino, I was like, mm-hmm, yep, that makes sense. I wasn't crying and, oh, I'll never love again. What? This is really getting out of control. And Bernie was even kind of sitting in the back, like scratching his head, kind of thinking, what is she saying?
Bernie was just going, I wonder what's on the early bird special tonight.
Yes, exactly. And it went on. Let's play cut seven.
Did her boyfriend just dump her? That's a good question from 413. Because you know what? That's exactly what it sounded like.
It feels like heartbreak. Heartbreak. If you felt heartbreak, heartbreak is a rough one. I mean, I don't think politics...
Is she checking into the Heartbreak Hotel? It's at the end of Lonely Street, you know.
I mean, if I were Bernie's people, I would pull her aside and be like, hey, let's try something a little more positive. Trump's at the LSU game versus Alabama right now, and everyone's kind of cheering.
Shall we try to, in the words of the old song, accentuate the positive?
Right. No, but you think about it. You got to
accentuate the positive.
Eliminate
the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
But look at the foil. You have Trump at this football game with all of these Americans screaming his name, and Melania's up there. She looks so beautiful. Everyone's cheering. It's so all-American. It's such a good moment. It makes you feel so proud and so good, and you want to go to the polls, and you want to vote Trump 2020. And then you have these two sad sacks at this town hall in Iowa. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's the worst. Don't you feel like you just got dumped?
Grace, is it possible that she got one of these depressing texts from February? Did you hear about this story?
Oh, I did hear about this. It's so sad. Go ahead, tell people what happened.
Well, right around Valentine's Day, apparently somebody iPhone and Android phone users got a bunch of messages this weekend from February, from text messages from February. So it was right around Valentine's Day. So when I read this story, I thought, well, they're going to be depressed because they got text messages from people that they weren't going around with anymore, right?
Oh.
But it's worse than that, because a lot of people were getting text messages from dead people. You didn't see this story?
From dead people?
I immediately started crying. Samantha Majorczyk, an Arizona college student, told the Washington Post. The text she unexpectedly got from her dad, who died later this year. He used to text me every morning, and after going 8 months without any messages, I was in complete shock. 168,000 long-delayed messages involving all major carriers in the U.S. were sent as part of the texting messages. Here's one. I just got a text from my boyfriend, my best friend's phone. Only issue is she's been dead since February. Honestly, I thought I was dreaming, and for a second I thought she was still there. The last few months haven't been easy, and just when I thought I was getting some type of closure, this ripped open a new hole. Here's one, Barbara Call from California. She just received a message from her sister saying their mother was doing well. Mom hasn't been coming down for breakfast since June.
That is so sad. What unnecessary heartbreak for those people. That's awful.
I don't think anybody meant to do it. I think the messages were just in some kind of cyber limbo.
And this they is just like came Sex
out
in
of,
the City.
They just came out of nowhere.
Right, like when the post office loses a letter for 30 years and then the person finally gets it and it's, you know, this Dear John letter that they never received.
Or like in The Notebook when her mom hides the letters and then they meet up again 10 years later and she goes, "You never wrote me." And he says, "I wrote you every day for a year." But her mom was confiscating the love letters. This could be a movie right here.
Another person said a text message she fired off in February was received by someone who is now her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, that's a little bit less traumatic. I mean,
than getting the letter from your sister,
yeah,
or saying your mom's fine, but mom's been dead for 6 months or
that's
whatever.
So sad. When we get back, I want to talk about Michael Bloomberg because some of the candidates are not thrilled, as you could imagine, that another person's getting into the race. And also, I want to get into the Nikki Haley drama that happened this weekend. She revealed
Ilhan Omar is not too pleased. She made another anti-Semitic text about it.
Is Ilhan Omar ever pleased? I would never use that word to describe her. She always seems a little disgruntled.
Why did she endorse Bernie Sanders if she was still going to make anti-Semitic comments? I thought that was her way of, showing a little remorse or penance for what she'd said. Now she does it again.
I think AOC is the decision maker of the group. So what she says goes.
844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
This poll question is sponsored by Wreaths Across America. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 14th. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a handmade balsam fir wreath, a symbol of America's respect. Sponsor a veteran's wreath today, especially it's good on Veterans Day. Visit www.wreathsacrossamerica.org.
And I keep hearing people say they're going by all these ceremonies today and they're seeing all the flags and how he took a picture in front of a lot of flags and that kind of stuff. People have to contribute to make that stuff happen. Like you walk by it and you think this is so beautiful, but it's because of donations from people that everyone can have that experience.
Yeah, did you send out the picture of me in front of the flags in Palm Beach?
I did. Everyone's loving it.
That's good. I'm glad. Maybe it'll make them forget the other picture that I sent out today.
Oh, yeah, the cryo picture. We'll get to that later.
I found a new cryo lab in Boca. It's really nice.
How
but
we
apparently
sent out
people
a picture.
don't like the pictures of me at it.
You're in a towel. You're technically sans culottes, which I never thought I'd have to say on
the
air.
A lot of people were crying over the picture.
All right. So, again, sponsor a veteran's wreath now. Visit www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you think Jeffrey Epstein is still alive?
I know that's similar to the question we asked last week, but I have discovered this weekend down in Florida, and I think, when I go online as well, it's become a meme on the internet, and people are talking about it just on the street. Some people think he's still alive. I don't understand it, but there it is. So it's a holiday. There's not a lot of breaking news. So we're going with that question. I don't think he's alive. No, I don't think he's alive.
14% of our respondents do think he's alive.
That's pretty high.
It's gone up a lot in an hour.
Guys, Grace's News is brought to you in part by Orion Metal Exchange. For a free investing kit from Orion, text free kit to 4848. That's free kit to 4848.
Grace, I think the first thing you should say is there was a tragic stabbing death this weekend in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yes. So this giant Trump balloon was popped.
Which goes around the country.
Right. It's kind of cute, too. It's not that effective.
It's not cute. It's
no,
nasty.
I'm just saying it doesn't. It's baby Trump with the orange hair, but it doesn't make me hate Trump. Like, that's the thing. It kind of makes it seem like it's fun. I don't know. It doesn't have the right effect on me is what I'm saying. But anyway, this kid popped the balloon. And the networks...
He didn't pop it. He stabbed it.
The networks were acting like...
He put an 8-foot hole in that baby Trump.
Let's just say he's the new Nicholas Sandman because he is the number one hated person from the left. And Greg Gutfeld was tweeting the funniest things. He said, wait a second. So al-Baghdadi is a austere religious scholar. And this kid who popped a balloon is like vicious white man, stabs balloon. You would have thought he actually committed a serious felony. He popped a balloon.
And he tweeted out something or put up something on Facebook. He said, I got arrested, but that's okay.
Yeah, it really is.
He didn't care.
You made our day, so
someone
whatever.
Someone popped the balloon, and now he's getting arrested.
He popped. Can you picture all of the moon bats? He popped the balloon. No. Oh, boy. In other news, Jersey turkeys on the attack. This is a big story today out of the New York Post. It's gobblers versus geezers. A gang of aggressive wild turkeys has been terrorizing senior citizens in New Jersey, busting through windows, pecking at cars, and even attacking the old timers. Elderly residents at Holiday City...
But I think, you know, that story just makes it sound like the birds are just attacking this retirement village. But I read another story. They had some retired New York Mets pitcher. He said they're all over that town.
They're just a human being.
Yeah, they're taking over the whole town.
But why are they going after old people? Are they ageist?
I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, they go after who's ever around. One time they snuck under my fence in my house in Wellesley, and they went after the pugs. The pugs came running back up onto the patio. They were terrified.
Turkey rebellion has begun.
This is a 60-strong pack.
It's like the birds, only it's the turkeys.
60. Imagine 60 turkeys walking towards you. I would be so scared. It's becoming an infestation, a resident told the Post. I literally couldn't get out of my front door because the males go to peck at you. I'm afraid of them. Listen, Cindy, I would be afraid of them, too.
You know, there was a story today out of Colorado, and there was this guy who was in his 50s, and he said he's a native of Colorado. He said he walked in Colorado his entire youth. He never once saw a bear. And now that the bears have overrun, I feel the same way about Massachusetts. I was a kid. And I lived in the rural part of Massachusetts. I never saw a turkey.
And now they go.
Now they're everywhere. Now they're in Dorchester.
They are in Dorchester. They're in South Boston. I told this already. I was walking on the sidewalk and I didn't even really notice. And then I turned back around and there was a turkey like an inch away from me chilling by one of the mailboxes, just kind of staring at me.
Same way with moose. There never used to be. Now they have moose walking in downtown Natick. No, you had to go north in Maine to find a moose.
There goes the neighborhood.
And they're worried. They're worried about climate change. I'm worried about wild animal change. All right. We'll be right back with Joe DeGeneva. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're in Boca Raton, Florida, but as you can see behind me, it's still the Matthews Brothers Studios. Joining us now, as he does every Monday, is Joe DeGeneva, the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. We're going to talk about the impeachment follies that are going on. Joe, thanks for being with us here on Veterans Day. And I want to start off with a sound cut from, I believe he's a former federal prosecutor by the name of Eric Swalwell. And I tell you, you've been a U.S. attorney. I never have been. But if I were a U.S. attorney, if a guy said something like this, one of my underlings, he wouldn't be an assistant U.S. attorney for very long. He's asked about the witnesses in the so-called impeachment process that's going on in the House of Representatives. This is what he said. Cut 11.
But Senate. Do you expect anything new from these testimonies, or is it going to be a recitation of what we can read in these depositions already?
These witnesses have been fairly consistent, and for the most part, they've not been coordinating or talking to each other. But again, this is America, and we don't just have, you know, railroading of justice. These witnesses, you know, should come public, and, mm-hmm. you know, the American people should judge for themselves as well as we will as to, you know, what happened.
Joe, for the most part, they haven't been coordinating their testimony.
Well, that I guess he meant they've only been talking to Adam Schiff some of the time and each other some of the time. This, of course, is a sham. This is not a real proceeding. This is done for television to make a political point, to embarrass the president, to smear the president, to dirty up the president. It's a political assassination. It's a decapitation. It's a form of regicide. But that, of course, doesn't mean anything to the Democrats. They're on a political, self-indulgent roll, and they've decided they're going to hurt the country no matter what. They don't care about what happens to the country during this or what doesn't get done in the public interest. It's pretty disgusting. Swalwell, by the way, who I'm happy to say will not be president of the United States after his failed presidential campaign, is truly one of the more embarrassing and ignorant members of the House of Representatives on the Democratic side. And he proves it every time he opens his mouth.
Would you ever trust him to prosecute a case after he said something that stupid, Joe?
I don't trust him to do anything, especially prosecute a case. It's hard for me to believe that he was ever entrusted with that authority. But this is the Democratic Party of the 21st century. What an amazing bunch of fruitcakes. Right.
I know, and then he says, we don't railroad people. I mean, why would you say that you don't railroad people unless you were railroading people and you were somehow feeling a slight twinge of or pang of guilt about it?
The Democrats apparently feel very comfortable having someone out there representing them to the American people. I think the American people have largely turned this off.
Right.
I don't think they care about these hearings starting on Wednesday. I predict that the viewership will be de minimis. People don't want this. They don't like it. They certainly don't trust Adam Schiff and his band of merry crazies. But, you know, the Democrats are bound and determined to dirty up the president for no good purpose.
It's hard to even know where to begin to counter this scam that's going on, because it doesn't make any sense on any level. I mean, how about the fact that Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has announced she won't enforce any subpoenas by going to court to enforce them? I mean, again, what does that tell you about the whole process, Joe DiGenova?
Well, the fact that the Speaker of the House and Adam Schiff have announced that they do not intend to, quote, play that game with the president or the Republicans, that is, enforce their own subpoenas, shows that this is a Potemkin village of a proceeding. The sole purpose is not to gain knowledge. It's not to find out what happened. We already know what happened. We read the transcript of the speech, of the telephone call between the president and President Zelensky of Ukraine. This is a political gesture, political issues for the 2020 presidential election. I must say, it's beginning to look very much like it is a complete failure, that the president is getting stronger rather than weaker. But it also is a sad commentary on the Speaker of the House, Ms. Pelosi, who for all of her service there seems to have learned nothing about the dignity of the place, such as it is, and the responsibilities that she has as Speaker. She's become a pretty embarrassing Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Speaking of embarrassments, Lindsey Graham talks a good game on the cable news programs. You know, he's rattling the chains and, you know, shaking his fist and all this stuff. But what does he do when he gets back to Capitol Hill? He's not doing anything. None of these people on the Republican side are doing anything, Joe DiGenova.
It seems pretty amazing. The Republicans control the United States Senate. They are the chair of every committee there. They have not issued a single subpoena or taking a single bit of testimony. The Mueller probe ended in unabashed failure, which would have been made it perfect to subpoena Weissman and Mueller and everybody and grill them about the unconstitutional behavior, about the Flynn case, about Carter Page, about the FISA warrants. Lindsey Graham says he can't subpoena people that are involved in the State Department, that means Ukraine, but he has the authority to subpoena people about the Mueller probe and about FISA. He says he's waiting for Horowitz to issue his report. He doesn't have to wait for Horowitz to issue subpoenas. I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me that neither he nor Ron Johnson nor the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Burr, I can understand that he's been completely taken over by Senator Mark Warner of Virginia and embarrassed himself already. So I never expected
it's embarrassment to North Carolina.
Oh, my God. He's not running again, so he's announced that. He's got 2 years left, so we have to live with this guy for two more years. But I just don't understand why the Republicans are not doing their job. It doesn't make any sense to me.
So now this one of the people that's going to be testifying in this show trial, this star chamber, is the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Canadian-born Marie Yovanovitch. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, hasn't she already prevaricated in front of Congress? Hasn't she already lied?
She has. She misled the committee about certain conversations she said she didn't have, which in fact she did. Ms. Yovanovitch is a career Foreign Service officer who was sent to Ukraine by Hillary Clinton, one of many women that Hillary Clinton sent to Eastern Europe and elsewhere well in advance of their time to become ambassadors, because Hillary wanted to have that as her legacy. And she wanted them in place when she became president of the United States to do her bidding. For example, she sent Yovanovitch into Ukraine to do a whole bunch of horrible things at the behest of George Soros, who actually runs the State Department and is responsible for some of the worst activities of the State Department overseas. It goes without saying.
Now, isn't Yovanovitch the one who unmasked a bunch of American journalists and political activists? And then lied?
What she did was, when John Solomon was writing a whole series of articles about her and Ukraine and Viktor Shokin, the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma,
right,
and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, Ms. Yovanovitch told the prosecutor not to investigate the Bidens and others. In fact, she gave Mr. Shokin's successor, after Shokin was fired, Yovanovitch went in and dictated to Shokin's successor the people who should not be prosecuted. And of course, the prosecutor, no dummy, wrote down the list of names and has made those available to the press.
So you might call her, Joe, you might call her the Jim Comey or Loretta Lynch of Kiev.
She was certainly Hillary's foot soldier, and she badmouthed President Trump while she was the U.S. ambassador there. There are people in Ukraine and people in the United States Embassy in Ukraine who said that they were told to simply ignore the orders of the President of the United States. Ukrainian officials were told that, and they were told, don't, President, he's going to be impeached. I mean, she obviously was in on the jig from the beginning and knew that there was something afoot with a bunch of people like Brennan.
Are the Republicans going to be allowed to question her in an open session on live TV?
They're going to be allowed. Now, the question is, will Adam Schiff rule some of their questions out of order? He's already done that in the executive sessions where these depositions were taken. He cut off example questions to Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who it is known or very seriously suspected was one of the major leakers to the press out of the NSC of classified information. And Schiff would not allow questioning of Vindman about those subjects. But Chairman Schiff can do that in public as well. He can cut off any questioning and he can instruct the witness not to answer the questions, and there's no recourse for the Republicans.
I'm going to be Adam Schiff now to the whistleblower and suggest a question that do you have any, Mr. DeGeneva, do you have any questions that you think might be appropriate to ask the former ambassador Yovanovitch when she comes up before Congress in a couple of days?
I do, Chairman Schiff. My first question to former Ambassador Yovanovitch would be this. How many CIA officers had to be assigned to shadow Hunter Biden when he was in your country to prevent him from being arrested or killed in a brothel or a drug den?
Madam Ambassador, I direct you not to answer that question. That is beyond the purview of the evil Republican congressman who just asked that question.
I joy in the description evil.
It's kind of like when Ted Kennedy was on his fact-finding mission to South America in 1961 or 62 before he ran for the Senate. Do you remember this, Joe? The FBI was following him around, and he rented out a brothel for himself and his chauffeur that night?
Yes. Yes. It's a very common thing among certain Democratic politicians. Menendez comes to mind immediately. But the truth is, Hunter Biden was, in fact, the subject of incredible wasting of resources by CIA station chiefs overseas in all of the countries he visited, because he was known to be someone who frequented drug dens and brothels. And the responsibility was given to the CIA station chiefs to make sure that the United States was not embarrassed by his death or arrest. Can you believe that? I mean, this is amazing stuff.
So he was worth every penny of that $50,000 or $83,000 that Burisma was paying him every month. So Yovanovitch was removed as the ambassador. And then, then they bring back this person, Taylor, who was now another another secret agent on behalf of the Democrat Party, apparently. Who the hell selected Taylor to replace Yovanovitch?
Taylor was selected by Mike Pompeo, brought back from out of retirement to replace Yovanovitch. And what's fascinating was, where was Bill Taylor working when Pompeo plucked him to come back? He was working for a George Soros NGO. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, George Soros is the enemy of the United States around the world and in the United States. He is the enemy of President Trump. And these clowns in the State Department and in the White House personnel office couldn't figure out that Bill Taylor was going to be bad news. Well, la-di-da, just look at where he fits in this hilarious scenario, this awful, this ugly scenario that Schiff has constructed. This was all purposeful, by the way. This just didn't happen.
I always think of Pompeo as being a pretty decent guy. How did this happen?
He was so afraid and is so afraid of the State Department bureaucracy. Yovanovitch, for example, is the head of the LGBT Foreign Service Officers Organization. And Pompeo did not want to incur the wrath of the LGBT employees at the Department of State. So he refused for a very long period of time to remove her. But eventually, according to press reports, the president finally said, "I've had enough. Get rid of her. This is ridiculous. She's destroying me over there and poisoning my relationship with Zelensky," which, by the way, Zelensky confirmed in that famous telephone call, the second telephone call, apparently, where Zelensky said, "You made my day when you removed her. She didn't respect me as the new president of Ukraine." I mean, Yovanovitch is an evil person, and she gets all this great press from the American press because she's a quote,
well. You've now explained to me why she gets the good press even more so than before. Now that I know her other connections.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, one last question before you go, very quickly. When is Horowitz's report coming out?
Well, you know, God only knows. I would hope it would be before Thanksgiving, for God's sakes. I mean, I can't imagine that apparently Durham has done all he needs to do by way of segregating the evidence for the huge criminal conspiracy that he's investigating with John Brennan at the head. and a host of other people from the FBI and senior levels of the Justice Department. So there's no reason to hide it any longer. I mean, you know, I whatever the declassification problems are, they can't be much. So I'm actually quite confused and bemused by the delay. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm not bemused. I'm irritated. I'm exasperated. I want it out yesterday. You know, I just
So do I. And it should be out. I mean, it's time for the American people to get the full story of how a group of people in the government, the CIA, the FBI, and the Department of Justice conspired to deprive a number of people of their civil rights.
I agree.
And by the way, this is a conspiracy to conduct a domestic intelligence operation by the Central Intelligence
Agency. I agree. This is what Frank Church was all over in the 1970s, Senator Church from Idaho. Thank you, Joe DeGeneva. As always, it's a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Thanksgiving is now just a couple of weeks away, and if you haven't signed up for ButcherBox already, you need to hurry up so you don't miss out on one of their greatest offers ever. If you sign up now, ButcherBox will take all the stress out of prepping for your Thanksgiving meal by giving all new members a free turkey in their first box. That's right, no bumping carts and racing down crowded aisles to claim that last oven stuffer or butterball. With ButcherBox, you can get your turkey conveniently delivered right to your door. And as with their beef, chicken, salmon, pork, and scallops, you'll know that the turkey you'll be serving from ButcherBox was humanely raised, just the way it's meant to be, with no added hormones or antibiotics ever. In addition to my ButcherBox turkey, I'll be sharing some of my ButcherBox favorites this year at the Thanksgiving table. We're going to switch our address down here for the next couple of months to from Florida. We'll be getting all of our favorite cuts, ground pork, ground beef, chicken tenders, chicken breasts. It's great stuff. Everything is fantastic. Don't miss out on this amazing offer for new customers. Sign up at butcherbox.com/Howie today and get a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/Howie for a free Thanksgiving turkey plus $20 off your first box. Don't wait. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Joe DeGeneva was great as usual, and now I have an even better understanding why Maria Yovanovitch, the former ambassador to the Ukraine, is treated with such kid gloves. Not only is she not born in the United States, but she's got another way that renders her unable to be criticized, I guess you might say. 844-500-4242. We'll have a lot more calls in the next hour. Sorry we didn't take any calls this hour, but we'll take more. I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.